Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Thursday. We've got a great show for you today, but first, a little breaking news, something that we broke here at Just the News a little bit ago. Always excited when we have stories that others don't have that move the ball forward. There is a lot of concern, as you know, about different people who have stood up to tell the truth about the Biden family or Biden issues, Biden Justice Department issues. There are the FBI agents who were punished or had their security clearances revoked, which meant they couldn't do the job, which means the FBI stopped paying them and they're stuck in limbo. There's at least 4 of them, I think, that we've talked about on the show. They're the IRS agents that we recently reported. There's indications that they're being subjected to a criminal investigation, though there's no evidence they did anything wrong. They follow the law by blowing the whistle, right? Then there are other folks that keep cropping up. And there is a new example again this week. Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, today announced, we broke this story, that his committee is moving forward and investigating allegations that one of the key impeachment witnesses, one of the partners of Hunter Biden, who testified, if you remember, through prison, remember he was in prison, he came in via videotape, he gave very damaging testimony, that Jason Galanis, in fact, may have been facing retaliation because he was trying to cooperate with the impeachment probe, and the Biden Justice Department apparently didn't like it, according to 3 new letters, not 1, not 2, but 3 letters that have gone back and forth between Jim Jordan and the prison system, the federal prison system, where Jason Galanis is serving time for a tribal bond fraud scheme. There is a belief that he was cleared to go to home release. He had served enough time and had gone to home release, but then the home release was allegedly canceled by the Biden Justice Department, keeping him in the federal pen. According to this letter, Galanis had been approved for home confinement under the CARES Act. A lot of prisoners during the time frame had been, but now they believe, and Jim Jordan used the word along with other folks, that this was disturbing in some way. In fact, Mark Paoletta, the lawyer for Jason Galanis, gave us an interview, said, "It is disturbing how Mr. Galanis has been treated in both of these matters, and I hope the committee obtains from the Bureau of Prison all the information and answers it has requested." Very important stuff. We'll keep you posted on that, but all keeping an eye on that very, very closely. All right. As I said to you, we've got a really good show for you today, and I'm going to delve into a lot of issues. Kicking our show off today is one of the more consequential and influential members of the United States Senate. I can't tell you the number of times I'm watching the Senate floor, and there's a proposal by Senator Marsha Blackburn. She's on the front lines of so many concepts, so many ideas, so many solutions, not afraid to call out wrongdoing, not afraid to suggest solutions, not afraid to buck the establishment. Senator Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee is going to join us here. She's got a big piece of legislation zeroing in on just how to solve this problem on college campuses. I think the third of the 3 ideas in this legislation, I'm going to tell you why I think it's going to work. But one of them is, if you're a foreign student here on a State Department visa and you're on these protests, you should be kicked out immediately. Your visa should be revoked. That's pretty easy. If you're an American student and you're chanting, I am Hamas, death to Israelis, death to America, you should lose your federal backing for your student loans. This is according to Senator Blackburn's. And if you're an American student and you met the standard for saying, I'm a terrorist, we'll take you at your word and put you on the no-fly list, which means you can't fly anymore. Imagine when college students find out that yelling I Hamas might keep them from going on spring break to one of those crazy places like Miami Beach. I bet you that'll cure this more than anything. Senator Blackburn at the top of the show is going to give us a good spin on what's going on with so many of the things she's working on. There's other things related to the census and making sure that illegal aliens don't benefit the states that take them, the sanctuary states, the sanctuary cities. Those are all very, very important things. Now, it's Thursday. Normally, we do AMAC on Wednesday. We have AMAC Wednesdays. Schedules didn't work last day, so we're going to declare today AMAC Thursday. Bobby Charles here in the House to talk about all that's going on in Congress, all that's going on between the United States and Israel. A lot of stuff. Joe Biden last night saying, I'm going to withhold weapons from Israel, even though Congress paid for him. I asked for him to do it. I got the bipartisan deal that I may withhold weapons from Israel if they go attack Rafah. Well, a lot of people aren't happy with that. Bobby Charles, former Assistant Secretary of State, knows a lot about diplomacy, about our relationship with Israel. He's currently the national spokesman for AMAC. He'll join us in the second block. And then Patrick Hedger, one of the great experts on the IRS and tax code, he has a lot to say. And we all have a lot to say about the IRS wanting to spend or get another $100 billion of money on top of everything else they've gotten from Congress. They're going to use that money to pursue little guys in this country. Patrick Hedger is going to break that down for us in the third block. We got a really good show for you today. Three very important issues, three big newsmakers like we often have on this show. Really excited for that. Now, before we go to commercial break, because it is AMAC Thursday this week, a quick reminder, you can go to amac.us/justnews and you this month will get, if you buy a membership, you'll get 4 years for $30. 4 years for $30. That's a great deal. One of the best deals AMAC has offered. You get it only because you're a Just the News John Solomon Reports fan. Go sign up today. Say thank you to AMAC for all they're doing for us, but also for being a patriotic organization that's trying to make this country better, to try to reverse all the damage that some of the far left policies have done in the last few years. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Senator Marsha Blackburn spent some great time with Amanda and I yesterday. We're going to play that first in the opening block, followed by Bobby Charles and AMAC Thursday, and we'll finish up with Patrick Hedger. What a great show. We'll be right back after these messages. Let me tell you, folks, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics are pre-alcohol, prebiotic drinks that are the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after a night of drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink alcohol, it gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produce an enzyme to break the byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best in the morning. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, reunions, you name it, we've got you covered. There's so much going on. So get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to ZBiotics.com/justnews to get 15% off your first order when you use the promo code JustNews at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/justnews and then use that promo code JustNews at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and all of our good times. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Senator Marsha Blackburn recently co-authored a letter that was sent to the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, where they openly rejected the Biden administration's new rule allowing illegal immigrants who are currently protected by DACA to have health coverage. So in addition to doing all this great work on campus stuff, we're going to get to that in a second, she's also working very quickly to address the idea that DACA recipients are going to get government healthcare. Just think about that. A lot of people are very upset about that. All right, we're going to bring in Senator Blackburn right now. Senator, great to have you back on the show as always.
Thanks. Good to join you.
I want to start off with something that's getting a lot of buzz today in social media. People have been looking for solutions. What do we do with these violent extremists that have been on these campuses? You have a new legislation that would require the State Department to revoke the visas and get rid of foreign students who might be involved in this. Tell us a little bit about the No Flights for Terrorists Act.
Yes, and I have put forward some solutions, things that I think would work. And some of my colleagues, Marco Rubio, Roger Marshall, Tim Scott, have joined me in these efforts. If you are here, if you're a foreign student and you are on a student visa and you are protesting against the United States, shouting death to Israel, death to America, I am Hamas, we are Hamas, your student visa should be revoked immediately. You should be deported and barred from reentry into the country. If you're an American student and you are out there protesting in the same manner, then you should lose access to your federal student loan. And no student loans of these individuals who are protesting against the country should be allowed to be forgiven, as the Biden administration is out here trying to forgive everybody's loans. And then if you are out there protesting against the country, you should be added to the terrorist watch list and the no-fly list. You know, John, I believe if somebody tells you they're a terrorist, we should believe them and put their names on the terrorist watch list, add them to the no-fly list so that they're grounded. They're not going to be able to move around and spread their hate.
Senator, I have to tell you, a reader actually texted me from Just the News after they saw your legislation to say, this is going to be the most effective thing. The second students realize they can't go on spring break, they're going to stop protesting right away. So you got a lot of fans out there.
Partying comes first for a lot of these people. Senator, you have a lot of beats, but one beat that seems to be of particular passion and interest to you is protecting children, particularly within the big tech space. And the need for the Report Act, which is already, this is your bill already passed in the House, it requires big tech companies to report different types of child exploitation, so being trafficked, groomed, enticed by predators. I guess that the fact that this bill is needed means that they are not reporting. Wouldn't they already have at least a moral, if not a legal, obligation to report this? It's a crime. It's a federal crime.
Yes, it is a federal crime. And Amanda, you're pointing out something very, very specific. In the physical world, pedophiles who are transferring information, promoting child sexual abuse material, people that are trying to take kids into strip clubs and places like that, there are laws against that. In the virtual space, we have had a law that requires reporting the child sexual abuse material. Not always did these platforms move forward with that, so we have strengthened that law and expanded it so that it now includes exploitative material so that you can get these pedophiles and these predators that are grooming children and that are moving this exploitative material around the internet, trafficking children, that all of that is a must be reported to the NCMEC, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, to their tip line, their cyber tip line. So it is a must. Then we allow this information to be transferred by the cloud so that you can electronically transfer all of this information to NCMEC, to law enforcement, to prosecutors to judges so that we can get these individuals into court, get them convicted, get them locked up, and make certain they never touch a computer again. Likewise, we allow NCMEC to hold this information, not 90 days, but a year, so that they have time to hold this and get these cases into court.
Amazing. Important stuff for generations of children to come. So important. Senator, I want to talk about a letter you co-authored and sent to the Health and Human Services Secretary, Becerra, challenging the Biden administration's new rule that's going to allow taxpayer money to be spent to give health coverage to illegal immigrants who came in or are protected by DACA. How important is this? It seems this is very popular with the American people blocking this, correct?
Oh, indeed. I mean, we have so many people. Our veterans can't get health care. You have 100-day wait list. And now we find out that Biden is going to do an executive order, not coming through Congress, by the way, but for all DACA individuals, he is planning to come up with some way for them to identify themselves and get access to free health care through Obamacare, which means there's going to be taxpayer subsidies into this. John, this is one of those things you just go, you gotta be kidding me.
Right.
They're talking about bringing Palestinian refugees in and giving them benefits and work permits. And they have already abused the parole system. As you know, Obama and Trump would parole about 5,600 people a year in the country. That is a niche for people that must leave their countries. They're escaping. Biden gave parole status to 800,000 in 2022 and 1.2 million in 2023. And John, these are people that are getting benefits and work permits. And it is something we're saying, wait a minute. You're talking about the hardworking U.S. taxpayer. They're overtaxed, they are under, they're overworked, and they're underpaid, and now you want them to pay for DACA recipients to get free health care. And this taxpayer is having to pay for their health coverage. And now you want them to pay for those that are illegally in the country.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Amazing.
I know that Biden's chief economist thinks that we can just print money, even though we are reaching another $1 trillion every, 3 months. Do we know how much this would actually cost, though? Because I feel like that's something that that would really make an impression on the American people.
Well, you know, according to Jared Bernstein, who is an economic advisor who has no background in this, when we need money, when we've spent money, we print money, and then we have people that buy our debt. And, you know, because of that, he thinks we can just go print money and not suffer the consequences. This nation is $30 trillion in debt. Our debt is something that affects our national security. You have to look at who goes to the debt market and buys our publicly traded debt. China is one of the top companies, the OPEC nations together. They're one of the top countries that are buying this debt. It is imperative that we start to pay attention to this. We don't have money to be giving healthcare benefits to people that have illegally entered the country.
Yeah, that's so true. Senator, you are a relentless defender of our most important ally in the Middle East, Israel. There's been a lot of difficult moments in the U.S. relationship with Israel because of the Biden administration's policy, withholding ammunition openly yesterday, threatening to keep back some of the money that Congress just appropriated. And on Friday, it may be possible that the U.N. General Assembly gives the Palestinian state the benefits of U.N. membership. How damaging are all of these moves in the last week?
They are very damaging. Bob Gates said it well. Joe Biden's been wrong on every major foreign policy issue over the last 40 years. We all know that. His judgment on foreign policy is not there. He is an appeaser. He does not understand peace through strength, and he does not appreciate the work that the U.S. military does in defending our country and the importance of our allies knowing they're an ally and our enemies fearing us. And what we have to do is realize, you know, John, I went to the floor more than once to try to push for us to send Israel their aid without any attachments, without conditioning that. They needed $17.6 billion. Give them $17.6 billion in aid. Democrats repeatedly blocked those attempts. And then they conditioned the aid, and then they won't send forward what has been voted to go to Israel. It is astounding.
Yeah, it really is remarkable.
Yeah. But, I mean, if we've learned anything, it's that even bad foreign policy, if your last name is Biden, can prove to be pretty lucrative. I wanted to ask you, though, about Biden, how he toes the line with the people who he has to have their support from, the young community who are protesters within these Palestinian protests. How does he toe that line?
I don't know. You know, it's been so interesting to me to see these protests. They are not for the president. They are not for Israel. And these agitators who are professionals, and we find out that Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine, a terrorist-connected organization, student groups, training them on how to carry out a protest, how to do an encampment, and how to make demands. This should be unsettling to every parent who has a college student of what their student might be exposed to. Parents need to be talking to their kids, because I'm telling you, if I were interviewing on college campuses, I would want to know if somebody was out protesting against the United States of America and sympathizing with a terrorist organization.
Well, what a great interview with Senator Blackburn. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, Bobby Charles, he always rocks the house. He's got some of the greatest insights and analysis about what's really going on in Washington, not what you might read in the newspapers. He's up next right after these messages. Hey, folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code JUSTNEWS to save 10%. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. An extraordinary week thus far, even though we're only into Thursday, whether it's the developments on the Israel-Gaza war, whether it's the developments on the college campuses, whether it is the recognition that Congress now understands that the illegal immigration surge that Joe Biden unleashed is actually designed to just hijack the census, which yesterday there was a major vote in Congress to reverse that. The world feels a little chaotic. Actually, living in America feels chaotic. I've had more people come up to me in the last year and say, is this really the America we want to be? I have the perfect person to address that question and why we're all feeling that way. Why does it feel so visceral to us right now? He has been in public service for a very long time. Today, he's the national spokesman for one of my favorite groups, AMAC. Before that, an assistant secretary of state, a chief investigator for the House Oversight Committee, a clerk for a federal appeals court. He is our good friend, Bobby Charles, and it is AMAC Thursday. We moved it a day this week, but that's because it's always worth having Bobby on. Bobby, welcome back to the show.
John, it's always fun to be on your show.
Well, I have so much fun. I look forward to this conversation. You know that we talk offline, and I always get geared up when I know you're coming on. I want to start with what has continued to transpire on college campuses. Americans are tired of it. They repudiate the protesters. They repudiate the mindset of the protesters. They repudiate the college campuses who failed to get a hold on it. They applaud those who did get a hold on it quickly. I like Emory or some of the SEC schools. But I think that we're still reckoning with who are these monsters that look like our kids but are saying things that are downright un-American.
Yeah, you know, you're right. The last thing we need in America is the import of Middle Eastern violence. And there are certainly forces behind these students that are, you know, these are the students, the same students that are waiting for their get out of free jail card and their loan forgiveness checks. They're not bankrolling all these tents and all these big, powerful flashlights and plywood and by the way, all identical campus to campus. Now, this is a force of chaos at work in the country, driven no doubt with enthusiasm by some forces outside the country. But there's, you know, one of the most telling signs, and I went to Columbia Law School, and I am more than disappointed. I'm disgraced by the way that they have handled their operations and how they've both Columbia and Columbia Law School, which are co-located, different sides of the road, but they. How they've handled this, because, I mean, when you can allow student groups to get up and say openly that Jews are not safe on this campus, what is going on in your head? Have you not understood history? Do you not understand the Constitution? Do you not understand case law? This is the Columbia Law School. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, then, who taught there when just before I was there, wouldn't be safe there.
That's so true. Yeah, you have to take that and digest it because it's so profound, but it's so true.
And it's so anti-American to say such a thing. I mean, that's a law school that generated three chief justices of the Supreme Court, and you have students now trained there and faculty who seem to be complicit, who think that it's okay to take a group of students, and by the way, you know, a large chunk of students there, it's right in the middle of New York City, are Jewish. So you're saying you're not welcome here? What are you saying? I mean, that is so anti-American. And then yesterday, John, I was on Harvard's campus, and I walked around that campus. And they've turned it into a giant homeless shelter. I mean, the middle of Harvard Yard looks like the kind of thing you'd see in downtown San Francisco. And so where's the administration there saying, no, we have a mission here, and our mission is education, and we don't allow – you want to walk around with some signs out on the street there, do it. But don't – that's free speech. You know, I'm going to come back to one last thing here, John, and that is that it not only is civil disobedience – not protected by the First Amendment. You have consequences because you're breaking the law. We're a place of rule of law. We're a land of laws. You understand that you will be punished if you do that. But civil unrest that is literally uncivil disobedience is even more unprotected, in that if you commit crimes, and we've had them on the campuses now, not just of trespass, but of threatening, of assault, you can go to prison. Okay, that's the way this country is supposed to work. And then if you back up one more step, case law like Tinker v. Des Moines, and there's several other cases after that 1969 case, say that if there's even a forecast of disruption on a campus, or if there's substantial disruption of the educational mission, law enforcement absolutely can come in and take people out. So what happened at UCLA? What happened in New York? What happened in Texas? What's happened at Harvard? You know, the interesting part about this is looking at the arrest records, John, of those, just take New York, 50% of them, it's true all over the country, by the way, are not.
Holds up in LA, DC.
Yeah. Yeah. They're professional rabble-rousers being That's paid right. by somebody yeah. to go stir unrest.
You got that. So, right. It's so amazing. I want to lean into this idea because every so often you see a dynamic and you say, this is a political boomerang. It started in one direction and it's coming back and it's going to hit the person that started it. And Joe Biden picked a fight 2 years ago with the Red Wall speech saying Republicans are the extremists. Democracy is at threat because of Republicans. And now people are looking out and saying, well, it's the liberals that forced the cancellation. After I spent $180,000 sending my kid to college, I can't go to the graduation because they canceled it. I can't go out in the streets at night because you get assaulted by protesters. I can't go to class tomorrow because the campus went to remote learning because of the violence. They look around and they're now saying, hey, wait a second, the extremists look like the guys that Joe Biden's hanging out with. Joe Biden and his team are the extremists. Has the extremism issue, has the democracy in jeopardy dynamic maybe begun a boomerang on liberals?
I think it has. And I think that's a through theme, John, that any of your listeners and any of us looking around at the world are going to see more and more. What that crowd has self-defined as is a group of extremists. They do not comport with basic American values. Whether you're opening up the border, whether you're driving debt sky high and causing people to be unable to afford housing, unable to afford their groceries, whether you're, you know, abandoning allies abroad, whether you're, and I say that with a broad brush, not just Israel, but Afghanistan. We left 100,000 allies who had helped us in there, and the Taliban has been chasing them down and killing them ever since. And I'm in contact with some of those families. It is absolutely horrifying. It's anti-American. And then the extremism of, everything they've done. I mean, whether it's the relationship with China, the idea that we're going to turn boys into girls, all of this stuff is extremist. And I want to come back to your most important bullet point there, if you will, that focal point, which is the idea that before Joe Biden gave that speech where he looked something like Mussolini, in red lights. I mean, it was the most brown shirty thing I've ever seen out of a president. He gives this speech declaring that his political opponent is the enemy of democracy and is an extremist. Well, before that happened, I don't think most Americans in general thought that the people who ran for office on either side of the aisle were extremists. They thought they were just different points of view. Now what's happened is he sewed the glove that he's wearing, because most people look at him now, and I think there's polling that says this, and they look at him as the guy that is the biggest enemy of democracy. He is disenfranchising you right down to your refrigerator, your lawnmower, your stove, your car, your life. He's taking your life away from you as an anti-Democrat. The principles he's operating on and the Democrats are operating on, including up here in Maine. John, the level of state by state, the level of audacity, arrogance, unaccountability, and in order to execute things that are anti-democratic is stunning. Most of this state deeply, deeply opposes the idea of killing a child at birth. And yet the Democrats in this state, because they're a one-party state, rolled right over it. They wanted to confiscate guns in this state. The Democrat legislature is just out of control. They have pushed policies that are damaging some of our primary industries in the state, lobstering. And that now are probably about a third as many lobstermen as there were in my youth, because they have had control for so long, these Democrats, that they've destroyed unaffordable housing. 30% of all those under the age of 40 are either living with a friend or their parent, because they can't afford to rent a house. Median income in the state and nationwide is about $200 below median rental costs. So it's unthinkable, and it is extreme.
You mentioned the poll, and it's one of my favorite polls. The AP North, I worked at the Associated Press for 20 years. I have some legitimate criticism of them today with their biases and sort of loaded words. But they have a poll 2 months ago or a month ago. It shocked the world when they reported that two-thirds of Americans now think that Joe Biden did something illegal and unethical in his dealings with his son's businesses. That's remarkable, since the mainstream media hasn't covered any of that. It means that the narrative that the House Republicans and people like myself and others have been doing is cutting through. But there was another poll And this was shocking. And this is the boomerang. This is the poll I know you're referring to. AP NORC found that 56% of independents now believe democracy will be weakened if Joe Biden wins. Literally, the independents have decided that Joe Biden is the guy in a majority of independents being Joe Biden is the extremist and in danger of weakening democracy. What a boomerang. And it's amazing to watch. It's as though the Democrats may have overplayed their hand. And I want to.
The best advertisement for Donald Trump is Joe Biden.
I've heard that a lot lately. And that wasn't true 4 years ago. But people say that now. Like every time I hear Joe Biden talk, I even people don't like Trump say, I'm going back to Trump. Wow, it's much better. And you see it in the polling data, too. Who is a more successful president? Donald Trump has a 15-point lead over Biden. If people now have made that decision that, well, Joe Biden is crooked, that's the first finding of AP New York a month ago, and Joe Biden's a threat to democracy now, particularly for independents who decide elections. The next question that seems to come to mind is, Bobby, if that sense of extremism is now embedded and it's turned on Joe Biden, is the question that people are going to ask themselves when they go to the poll or the decision they're going to make is, I can't afford another 4 years of Joe Biden. Can't afford the gas, can't afford the groceries, can't afford the loss of soldiers at a gate in Afghanistan unnecessarily. I can't afford letting our enemies get $80 billion of our equipment. Is that a question that Joe Biden is no longer affordable? They can't tolerate it anymore?
You know, I think it is. You know, sometimes you look at a picture and it's just a bunch of dots, and then all of a sudden it becomes a picture, you know, a pointillistic picture like Seurat. And that's the picture right there. I think the picture is people cannot afford another 4 years of this president and the people that are around him. And yes, it's because of their extremism and cultural issues, but it's also in the most fundamental way a national security and economic issue. Issue isn't even the right word for it. It's something that's rattling, it's shaking the foundations of every American family, every individual in the country. It's unsustainable. And he's created this unsustainability. I think the thing that I don't want to cause anything to undermine the strength of that observation, but I will say that what bothers me as I look almost like an ink blot, if people can remember an ink blot on an ink blotter and how it expands outwards, or you know, a little bit of water on a paper towel that goes out and out and out and out. One of the things I see happening at the national level and at the state level is this extremism is spreading outwards. He has promoted or permitted and promoted the idea that extreme behaviors can be normalized, extreme statements can be normalized, extreme lies can be normalized. You know, him saying that he never had traveled with his son to China, of course he did, or it never talked about business with him. Of course he did. He met 20 times with his business partner. So how can you say you never discussed business? And so it's normalization of untruth and normalization of unaccountability and normalization of extremism is probably the greatest threat to democracy historically and globally in any country at any time for any reason. And he is personifying that. And so I'm worried more that he's creating a new reality that is an unreality, and it's infectious. It's creating these state legislatures in one party states that think they can get away with murder and keep walking. It's the same thing at the national level. You have Democrats. Why isn't there a single Democrat, not one, that has come out at the national level and say, you know, I think these lack of integrity things with China and Ukraine and Romania and the way that he took money in his family, I think that's wrong. I think we ought to look at that. Where are the Bill Cohens of 1972 who said about Nixon, you know, I don't think this is right? Where are those people today? They've all bought in. They've drunk the Kool-Aid. They believe that the best thing to do is to just keep lying so that you can hold power. And that is dangerous to democracy.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly the point. Politics in tribes before country is, I think, the answer that people see now. They're like, when did politicians start putting their own political interests ahead of the country? And I think that's why people aren't willing to call out what's wrong on their own side right now. It's pretty remarkable. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. More of our exclusive interview with Bobby Charles right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, as we draw near to another critical election, it's not only about casting your vote, it's about elevating your voice, making your voice be heard. AMAC is more than just a senior discount organization. They unite like-minded patriots like you and I, committed to preserving our cherished values and actively opposing the leftist agenda that's sweeping across America. Just look at their recent victories. AMAC members helped to push forward an investigation into practices that inflate drug prices. They successfully defeated ranked choice voting in order to protect traditional voting methods, and they also helped block a federal takeover of elections. As AMAC's membership grows, Washington is listening. Every new member strengthens this movement. If you love America, visit AMAC, amac.us/justnews to become a four-year member for just $30. That's a great discount. AMAC is not only better for America, it's better for you. Membership gives you access to the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare guidance, money-saving discounts, trusted news, sweepstakes, and so much more. It's a community, not a service. Take advantage of our election year sale. 4 years for just $30 at AMAC. By joining over 2 million Americans, they can't ignore your voice in Washington anymore. Join now at AMAC, amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back. More of our exclusive interview with Bobby Charles. I want to turn to Israel because this is going to be a long, hot, hot summer for liberals. Joe Biden, the Chicago Convention, has the potential to be very tense and potentially even violent. Israel, Joe Biden has really major decisions he's going to be making. Will he truly withhold the aid that Congress just approved with for Israel if Israel goes into Rafah? Will he allow the United Nations to vote tomorrow and declare Palestine a state? And then if that, he allows that to happen, will he then follow the law that says he must cut off and defund the United Nations immediately? Our greatest ally is really uncertain whether Joe Biden's going to stand by them in these next 2 weeks. What do you see are the stakes, and what do you think the likely outcome is for the Biden administration?
You know, I there's so many ways to answer that, John, and I'm not a guy that has pat answers. The Marine Corps motto is Semper Fidelis, always faithful. We have allies around the world, and we have had since and before World War II because we have always been faithful. When our allies are in trouble, we step up for them. We are the only country in the history of mankind, that has lost millions of their own in order to protect the sovereignty of another country, whether that was Kuwait or that was World War II. So we have this incredible history of being faithful to our allies, and he has thrown all that in the dustbin and in the garbage can, and that's very disappointing. On a much larger scale, however, if you feed the beast, which is to essentially empower Iran by abandoning Israel, never mind the constitutional issues involved in Congress has appropriated money for a specific purpose, expecting and imagining that you are executing as the executive. That's your job, is to execute the appropriation, and you're not doing it. To hear Austin say what he said the other day on the Hill was stunning. It's audacious. It's arrogant. It's really almost a de facto abuse of power, no matter how you dress it up. So I look at it and I say, if I'm Israel, even if I feel like, even if people feel that Israel overstepped and has done some things that, you know, this particular environment was a very difficult one, and I understand, and innocence matter. But when you, when, if I'm Israel and I'm looking back at this country, that I'm the only country in the, I can protect the, I protect the Holy Land. I am the only country in 22 countries of the Middle East that has anything close to a democracy. And you, and my ally has always been there beside me, and we've done the same thing in reverse. And now they just walk away from me in our time of peril. I mean, you know, a friend in need is a friend indeed. But the corollary for that is a friend that walks away from you when you are in need is no friend at all.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And it isn't just affecting Israel. I think any other ally looking at this is like, hey, they're going to do this to me someday too. What happens if I got to take a military action that's in my country's interest and the United States doesn't like it? Are they going to abandon me? And I really do think that that is an extraordinary conversation that earlier in my lifetime, I could never imagine happening. We never had doubt about where the U.S. stood. Today, we have lots of doubt.
Just one really quick point on that. A lot of, you know, this is, again, one of those things where be careful the trap you lay. They lay a trap for Trump saying that he somehow was going to abandon NATO. Well, the truth of the matter is the behavior of Joe Biden is going to cause every single NATO country to worry about whether the word of the United States is true. In other words, the death of NATO will come by the behaviors of, if it ever does, by the behaviors of someone like Biden, not by someone who seeks accountability from allies. It's ironic. I mean, what he's doing is he's sending to a signal to everyone from Australia to Great Britain that our word isn't worth anything. And, well, the American word is, but his word isn't.
Right. No, you're exactly right. United Nations, clearly not in sync with the United States anymore. Not even in the Biden administration, sometimes they're not in sync with them. Not saying something since they're all globalists. It seems to me that if they proceed with this vote tomorrow and give the benefits of privilege to Palestine, in the absence of a true recognition of a state, it will put another extraordinary wedge here. You've got all the evidence that UNRWA was assisting Hamas, including on the day of the attacks. You've got these votes that are clearly anti-American votes. Is there a moment after this next election where America reevaluates its membership and its relationship to the United Nations?
Well, I think the United Nations reputation, even before this, is somewhat in shambles. I mean, they've basically, this is why the United States didn't join the World Court. It's also why a bunch of other countries didn't join the World Court. They've become a political force for wealth redistribution and for running down the people that are on, you know, that have historically built the world up. So, and not least us. So the United Nations, just in and of itself, I think has credibility issues, and we are constantly evaluating that. And I believe if you go back in time, you know, even the Bush people, but certainly the Trump people looked at, you know, the accountability and organization, multilateral organizations that were living by their own drummer and just spending our money doing things that we didn't want done. But the bigger question is really, what do you do with this phenomenon and you know, a sudden abandonment of Israel and a sort of an elevation or ignoring certain facts and accepting others? And, you know, the saddest part to me, John, I've done a lot of reading in the Middle East. I've been in almost every country of the Middle East. I haven't ever been in Iran, but, you know, most of them. And I've been there sometimes more than once and, you know, spent time there. And the saddest part about this is Trump was on his way. Reagan was on his way. Even Jimmy Carter was on his way to getting some of the swords to get laid down and some of the old, you know, millennia old violence to be set aside. These Abrahamic Accords, they didn't address the Palestinians, but that was the next step. The Palestinians in the West Bank and the Palestinians in Gaza, that was basically the fabric. It was a fascinating idea that you change the paradigm. You don't try to get all the countries of the Middle East to agree on one idea. You do bilateral agreements until you have a patchwork quilt where everyone understands the value of everyone else. And then you go to what is the most difficult issue, and that was following the Balfour Declaration, how you manage this area. And, you know, I mean, so this has always been a hard issue, but there's two ways to look at it. You either take sides in a situation, which Biden has done here, where you blame one party and the other party is somehow free of guilt, Or you say, look, we're all in this together. This is a lifeboat. If the Middle East is going to ever settle down, we've got to all be part of this. Well, what he's done is he's, and what the UN is doing is they're blowing up the opportunity for an for a serious, civil, trusting relationship. If at the end of the day, if you destroy all trust in the region, no one will negotiate with anyone because nothing that you ink is worth anything. But if you take the approach that Trump took, which some people were rightly critical that you could have started with the Palestinian issue, but the reality is if you take the idea that constructive, you know, it's biblical. If you take the idea that the peacemakers, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, and let's kill the terrorists and get them out of the picture, and then let's sit down and work through what are longstanding issues, you can get James Baker got partway there under Bush 43, and Reagan got partway there. But if you give it up and you just decide you're going to give up on Israel, you're going to give up on the Holy Land, and you're just going to let Hamas get away, no, it can't make any sense at all. And the UN has to be thinking harder. I mean, no one's thinking right now. They're all just picking sides, like the tribalism you described, and they're letting it go. This is not the way to look forward. To look forward, you have to put terrorists out of business, number one. Number two, you have to reestablish bases for trust. And number three, you have to start envisioning a future that isn't based on constant killing.
Yeah, no, you got it right. And I think Americans know that these are the things they're going to be voting for. These are the course corrections they're going to try to impose in the November election. That's what's at stake there. Bobby, I'm a proud card-carrying member of AMAC. I save lots of money just on my membership because I get discounts. I travel a lot, hotels, car rentals, you name it. Great deals on insurance. I'm just renewing my car insurance. I'm going through AMAC. I love that. There's so many benefits to membership, but the one I enjoy the most, they're all enormous benefits, but I feel like I didn't get a service. I didn't join an association. I joined a community of patriots and I get great news. I get a great podcast, a great magazine. I get great analysis from experts like you. There's people out there today that should dive into this community right now. What are they going to experience when they become an AMAC member?
You know, I love that you say that, John, because we're all independent minded people. We Republicans, we make up our own minds. We don't let CNN tell us what we should do. And we don't let AARP tell us what we should do. We think independently, but we are AMAC, in many ways, I think of it as kind of it is a family. It's almost like a Sons and Daughters of Liberty, you know, reformulated again. It's a group of people that care about this country, and they work together very collegially, very coherently, and very effectively all over the country. They work together in individual states. They work at the national level. And so what are they doing? You go to bed at night thinking for the first time in a long time, if you remember, for $16 a year, you get a beautiful magazine. You get all those economic benefits, and they're all really there. You go, you sign, you get all of them. And then at the same time, you get this unbelievable capacity to go to bed at night feeling that even though you're just a small cog, and even I am just a small cog in this process, and we are nevertheless doing something to save this country. And what a great feeling to know that something you're doing is bringing the debt down, closing the border, you know, reestablishing a future for our young people, establishing, you know, those on fixed incomes, giving them the opportunity. They have a whole Social Security Foundation, and AMAC also has a Veterans Foundation, and we have 31% of our membership are veterans. So, you know, if you have issues on any of those issues, John, AMAC is your one-stop shop for pro-American, thoughtful, purposeful defense of freedom.
Yeah, no, that is so well put. And also, here's a little secret. You don't have to be 65 to join. I'm not 65 yet. I'm only 57, but younger is good too. I just went to an event. I went up to the boot camp for boomers in northern Pennsylvania, and the people I met were of all different ages, all different walks of life. They all share the same love for country. You can be 30, you can be 90, you can be anything in between, and you can be an AMAC member. And this month, thanks to the great work of Bobby and his team and Rebecca Weber, the CEO, very special offer just for Just the News and John Solomon Reports fans. If you go to amac.us/justnews, amac.us/justnews, you're going to get a 4-year membership for just $30. That's the best deal I've ever seen on that. 4 years, $30, you'll pay for it right away in your first hotel or second hotel. You're going to be make up the money for the whole membership, and then you get 4 years of unbelievable benefits. You're going to save money on car insurance. You're going to get access to Medicare advice. It is an incredible, incredible program and community. And by the way, you get to hang out and hear Bobby Charles right on the site, come on the show. All of those things are part of being an AMAC member. So go there today, amac.us/justnews. Go get one of those 4 year for $30 memberships. It is a steal. Go do it right now. Bobby, always a blast to have you on. I always smile when I end the conversation. Great, great to be with you. A lot of history is going to play out next week. We're going to have to catch up on a lot of big events.
We live in consequential times, and that's both a curse and a blessing. Thank you, John.
It's true. It's true. Those are words of wisdom. All right. We'll talk to you next week, Bobby. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Don't go anywhere. One more good one to go. Patrick Hedger right after these messages. Folks, we're sponsored today by Donors Trust, the tax-friendly way to preserve your charitable giving. In times of crisis, those with a giving spirit and a desire to build up civil society find ways to be helpful. And that's when it's good to have a charitable resource ready to deploy when they're needed most. Donors Trust offers donor advised funds or giving accounts. You can use these funds as your own charitable investment account and manage your charitable giving in a way that's smart, tax advantaged, aligned with your values, and private. Donors Trust clients are using their funds to support charities helping their local communities while also using their giving account to simultaneously support think tanks and liberty-minded organizations that believe our constitutional rights shouldn't get lost in a time of emergency. Now is the time to take a closer look at Donors Trust and join their community of liberty-minded donors by opening a donor advised fund. Go to donorstrust.org/justnews for the ultimate survival guide to charitable giving and learn how a donor advised fund can preserve your ability to give to the charities you love. That's donorstrust.org/justnews. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion-dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold. Or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Welcome back once again. Today, two big money headlines grabbed my attention, and quite frankly, as a taxpayer, they grinded my gears just a little bit. On Capitol Hill, IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel appeared before the House Appropriations Committee asking Congress to give his agency, the IRS, an additional $100 billion. And yes, this comes after the $80 billion boost that they received last year. And the second headline was on how trustees are saying that Social Security benefits are going to be cut starting in 2035 without congressional intervention. Aren't these two items just remarkable after being in the hole $34 trillion and growing? Our good friend Patrick Hedger with the Taxpayers Protection Alliance joins us to talk about all this now. Patrick, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to have you.
Okay, as I think we talked about last time you were on, the IRS got, you know, an $80 billion bump. Must be nice. And though 63% of their new audits were people who make $200,000 less, after saying that they were going to be targeting millionaires and billionaires. So maybe this extra $100 billion is going to be for the millionaires and the billionaires. Maybe they just needed this to actually do what they said they were going to, right?
Yeah, they'd love for you to believe that. But ultimately, you know, we know the incentives that face government agencies, and the IRS has an incentive to go after the low hanging fruit. Prior to the injection of the cash into the IRS, the $80 billion, which is now about $60 billion after $20 billion was rescinded by Congress. If you lined up a map of where census data on poverty in the United States and data from the IRS on where audits are happening, it looks like the same map. The IRS was already disproportionately auditing low-income and minority citizens. The most audited county in the United States is actually a county in Mississippi, in a very poor rural area of Mississippi. Yeah. And we see now that the IRS has a little bit of additional resources that they're just going after sort of that next level, right? A little bit higher up on the tree, not necessarily the low-hanging fruit, but still folks that don't have the necessary resources to really fend off an aggressive IRS audit. We're talking, again, individuals and families making less than $200,000. And of course, in an environment right now, that's not actually a whole lot of money anymore.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great point. Well, while the IRS continues to go after more and more little people, they're also really bad at customer service. Everything we know about it is created frustration. Congress gave a big bunch of money, a 10-year sort of roadmap to fix taxpayer services. Werfel just said, I think it was today or recently, that they're going to be blown through that in 2 years. They need more money to do what they promised Congress they were going to get done with the last tranche. Why is customer service so bad? Why does the IRS can't do the basics with customers?
Yeah, the IRS continues to ignore the S part of IRS, which it should be a service. And unfortunately, it operates more like a very aggressive law enforcement agency. And yes, their job is to generate revenue, but they don't make it easy for folks to comply with the tax code. I mean, ultimately, all of this comes down to the fact that the tax code is way too complicated. But barring major changes to the tax code, looking at the IRS, I saw that the commissioner today complained that the $20 billion that was rescinded out of the $80 billion that was appropriated to the IRS is going to harm customer service. But Congress explicitly said that $20 billion was to come out of increased enforcement. It was not to come out of the money that they appropriated for customer service. And the IRS is really kind of ignoring what Congress has asked them to do with the money that they've appropriated. And unfortunately, this is sort of a theme that we've seen in the Biden administration. They're preying on dysfunction in Congress to really kind of spend the money how they see fit in a lot of different ways and attach a lot of extra legislative strings to funding and programs that Congress has created. So it's a Biden administration-wide problem, but it really impacts the average American citizen given sort of the aggressiveness of the IRS.
That's great.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about that other headline that splashed across my news desk this morning, that Social Security benefits are going to be cut starting in 2035, just 11 years from now. Purely for peace of mind for the American people, I think this needs to be handled sooner than later. But how and when should Congress act on this?
They can't act too soon on this. I mean, there's something needs to be done. And unfortunately, really, you hear it from politicians in both parties that I'm not going to touch your Social Security and Medicare. Well, the fact of the matter is if these programs, something doesn't change, they're going to cut themselves and they're going to be severe cuts. And so something has to be done. There need to be new sources of revenue, or there need to be changes to reduce spending or complete restructures of the program to begin with. We've seen success of privatized systems overseas, even in countries that you wouldn't think would implement such systems, private retirement accounts. Ultimately, we've got to get rid of the Ponzi scheme that exists right now, because the population level just can't really sustain an aging population when we don't have high enough levels of immigration or natural births to supplant and replace the existing glut of workers as baby boomers continue to retire. The structure of the system just doesn't work. And we're talking hundreds of trillions of dollars, depending on how far out that you want to look, that we owe into these programs that we do not have an existing revenue source for. It's not a politically popular thing to say. I get it, but it's the level of truth that if we don't do something, we're all in a lot of trouble here within the next decade. And I mean, we're talking that potentially, not the next president that gets elected, but the administration after that is the one that's going to be dealing with this. And there are senators that are up for re-election right now that will be dealing with this. So it's a huge problem. It's staring us in the face, and it's not getting any better.
Yeah. And inaction is a guaranteed cut, right?
Inaction is a guaranteed cut. You know, regardless of who's telling you, whether they're on the left or on the right, if they say we're not touching Social Security and Medicare by doing nothing, they're the ones that are actually advocating for a cut.
All right, folks, that wraps up the Thursday edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to all of our guests, starting with Senator Marsha Blackburn of the great state of Tennessee, Bobby Charles, our good friend from AMAC, and of course, Patrick Hedger. A lot of good stuff. Go check out that story we broke at the top of the show about Jim Jordan and the potential retaliation against one of the former Hunter Biden business partners. I think that's got legs. You're going to see a lot more of that in the next few weeks. Go check that out. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, go over to amac.us/justnews. Go sign up for one of those four-year, $30 memberships. It will pay for itself. You'll be supporting a great patriotic institution, and you'll be supporting Just the News, because AMAC has been one of our loyal supporters right from the beginning, one of our great partners. Go do that today. Do it as a favor for me. It's a great way to kick off the weekend. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with the Friday edition. We got some good ones on tap. One of former President Trump's lawyers, Tim Parlatore, one of the great defense lawyers in anywhere in this country. He's going to break down what happened with Jack Smith, what's happening with Stormy Daniels, what happened to Alvin Bragg. Will that case go in reverse? I think it might. We'll let you know tomorrow. All right, have a good night. We'll be back in the morning. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD, and find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.